Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 15, reading from verse 1 through verse 8 as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of poor sinners, beloved hearers of his precious word. Now that summer is past and the annual plants have served their purpose of beautifying our yards and our gardens and are about to be plowed under for the winter, gardeners turn their attention to the perennial stock in which they have invested so much time and effort year in and year out. Plants which will come up on their own the following spring. Fruit trees, raspberry canes, grapevines, bulbs, tubers, rose bushes, and so on. For many of these still need attention before they go dormant for the winter, even if they are to do well the following spring, if they are to produce even better and more fruit than they did during this growing season. How fitting a time, therefore, also to consider the fruitfulness of our spiritual life, to take stock of our growth as Christians, and both the quality and quantity of our fruit produced in our lives of sanctification as evidence of our faith in Jesus our Savior. Such a self-examination should, of course, be an ongoing thing. As the Apostle Paul exhorts us, saying, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And the gospel text before us this morning gives each and every one of us the opportunity to do just that in the flawless mirror of God's holy word. And to ask himself on the basis of this text, just what sort of branch are you in the true vine of Christ your Savior? The Lord Jesus shows us in the allegory or picture of his relationship to us that in order to be his disciples, each of us must first of all be a living branch, not a dried up twig that needs to be pruned away. Secondly, he must be an abiding branch, well anchored in the vine, and growing stronger every day. And thirdly, he must be a productive branch, bringing forth much fruit to the glory of the heavenly husbandman or gardener, our heavenly Father. Now notice, first of all, dear brethren, that in this allegory or picture, there is absolutely no question about the condition of the vine itself. The vine is perfect. Unlike the vines in our garden, yea, unlike false spiritual vines, which are poisonous and even dangerous to us Christians, false prophets in sheep's clothing, Jesus tells us that those, all those other vines, might as well be weeds. Or as he calls them in Matthew 7, thorns and thistles for all the good they do. And the heavenly husbandman, God the Father, knows that well. And so he tells us to which vine we are to cleave. He hovers over this vine, tending it and caring for his only begotten beloved Son, desiring that many fruitful branches be produced in him, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The vine itself is in perfect shape. It's the condition of the branches that the Lord Jesus addresses here in our text. Now, just who are those branches? The picture or allegory itself makes that abundantly clear in the mere fact that they are called branches, offshoots from the main vine, produced by the vine, nourished by the vine. The new shoots are fresh, clean, and bright green, not yet assailed by fungus, disease, and insects. So, just so shall ye be my disciples, Jesus tells us. That's the way he wants us to be, and that's the way he wants us to stay. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The cleansing operation that Jesus speaks of here is not the pruning of already existing branches to make them more fruitful, but it is the operation that makes us branches in the first place. The cleansing of justification, which washes away our sins in the blood of Jesus, and the quickening of the gospel by which we are made alive unto salvation and grafted, as it were, into Christ the true vine. To live unto him, and to live in him as a member or branch of that vine by faith. And the allegory is so wonderfully accurate in this respect that all the credit for our justification, for our conversion to faith, they are becoming living branches in Christ, the true vine, all the credit goes to him, and none of it goes to us. Branches do not produce themselves. The vine produces the branches. Moreover, every branch produced by even an earthly vine is alive to begin with. And only later on do some of those branches die off and wither. Just so are the branches which the true vine produces. Jesus does not call and cleanse men by the word of the gospel to be his branches only for a time. He doesn't call them and cleanse them to be heirs of eternal life and then cut them off. No, spiritual branches become unfruitful and die when they no longer rely upon the vine for life and health and strength and vigor. but look to themselves as if they were independent from the vine and can go their own way. They, like Judas, who was once a believing disciple, they die off, they lose the saving faith, and are pruned away and consigned to the brush pile because they have forsaken the vine. In order then to be Jesus' disciple, beloved hearer, you must first of all be, by his grace and mercy, a living branch. A living branch in the true vine. Quickened, that is made alive in Christ through the power of his precious gospel. Clean, he says, through the word which he has spoken unto you. Washed, writes the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. But that's not all, beloved brethren. For as Jesus shows in our text, we won't be living branches for long if we don't also adhere to or stick to Jesus as the true vine, stick to him in simple childlike faith over the long haul. In order to be and remain Jesus' disciples indeed, in order to be an abiding branch in him, he tells us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Jesus, the true vine, is the very source of our spiritual life and strength. You see, branches don't have roots by which to secure nourishment directly from the ground. Neither do we, as Jesus' disciples, have it within ourselves to remain steadfast in the faith on our own, disconnected from him and from his word. Nor can we produce any fruit, the proof or evidence of our faith, on our own. For it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So let us keep this relationship straight between us and the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, not the other way around. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He's just a fall off dead branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What a stark warning to all of us should be the mountainous heap of brush, of dried twigs and brown lifeless leaves that once flourished on the vine of their Savior. For instead of clinging to him and to his life-giving word, for growth in grace and strength of faith, to resist the wiles of the devil, the world, and their flesh, they broke off from the vine because of wicked pride. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And the real tragedy of that burning pile in the corner of God's garden is that those people once were branches who had every spiritual advantage, who knew better, who could have been fruitful in every good work. But they threw caution to the wind and ignored the earnest warning of the Apostle Peter to branches. Beloved, beloved branches, beware, watch out, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But, and here comes the solution to their problem, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself tells us how to abide in him in the 8th chapter of this same gospel, verses 31 and 32. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth on the basis of his word. And the truth shall make you free. Free from error. Free from weakness. Free from falling off the vine. Free from the brush pile consigned to be burned. The saddest epitaph ever written is engraved on the headstone of a young man in his college days who lost his faith by starving his own soul from the bread of life and feeding instead on the spiritual slop that the world had to offer. It reads this way: a tender lamb was devoured by wolves. A supple branch snapped as a dry twig. On the other hand, Jesus says in our text, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we remain abiding branches and not just temporary shoots or suckers, as we sometimes call them, if we are by God's grace growing branches, firmly fastened by faith in the vine of our Savior, strengthened in that faith by the diligent use of the means of grace, then we have the assurance that whatever we need and whatever we want, particularly for our spiritual blessings, will be given to us by our Heavenly Father, the husbandman. Whatever we need to remain Jesus' disciples, whatever we need to increase in fruitfulness, those things will be granted to us. It is just such blessings that we refer to as we sing with the hymn writer, oh, what blessing to be near thee and to hearken to thy voice. May I ever love and fear thee, that thy word may be my choice. Take it never from my heart till I see thee as thou art, when in heavenly bliss and glory I shall greet thee and adore thee. But our allegory is not yet complete, as we see from our text. One essential ingredient is still lacking. You see, when a gardener has a beautiful vine, it may have living branches on it, beautifying it with still more lush foliage. It may have abiding branches on it, which stay attached to the vine even in the most violent of windstorms. But if there is no fruit on those branches, they are actually worthless to the gardener in spite of how nice they look. They might as well be pruned back and discarded on the brush pile to wither in the hot sun and finally to be burned up with the other dead branches and dried twigs. So Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So if you are truly a living branch, if you are an abiding branch, then you will also be a productive branch, bringing forth fruit, not just a bit of fruit here and there, but much fruit, Jesus says, not of yourselves, as if you were anybody special, and you could produce fruit on the basis of your own merit to please God. But Paul enumerates the fruits of faith in Galatians 5, fruits of faith that are produced by the true and living vine. What are they? The fruits of faith are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's great patience with your brethren, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, also righteousness and truth, boldness to confess the Savior before men, readiness to give an answer concerning your faith to friend and foe alike, and generosity in Christian giving, cheerful Christian giving. Not just gifts of money, but gifts of your time, gifts of your personal service, and cheerful sacrifices of all kinds. Those are fruits of faith. Herein, in the production of this fruit, herein is my Father glorified, Jesus says of the heavenly husbandman, who has carefully tended the true vine with its living and abiding branches. Herein is my Father glorified, that she bear much fruit. A gardener, and if any of you are gardeners, this should ring true in your mind, a gardener wouldn't be particularly thrilled with only half a dozen tomatoes from 12 plants. A gardener wouldn't particularly be thrilled with a half cup of blueberries from a hybrid high bush shrub. He wouldn't be satisfied, he wouldn't be glorified with only one bunch of grapes from a vine full of branches. And the Lord, too, wants his believing branches to abound more and more, to keep producing fruit in abundance. Why? Because those fruits go to prove just how much we appreciate all that God has done for us and for our salvation. Can we do less, beloved brethren, given what we know as branches in the vine of our Savior? Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9, I speak not by commandment. I'm not telling you what you have to do here. And I shouldn't have to tell you what to do. But I speak to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Rich production of fruit in a Christian, in a branch of the Savior, glorifies the Father, Jesus says in our text. For it shows, it reflects his abundant grace to poor sinners. Grace which brought them to saving faith in the first place. Grace which strengthens them in the faith and preserves them against falling away in the second place. Grace by which a child of God is enabled to do good works pleasing to the heavenly husbandman. Without faith, it is, of course, impossible to please him. Can you then do less, beloved of the Lord, than to make sure, each and every one of you, that you are not only a living and an abiding branch in the true vine of your Savior, but a productive vine as well, bearing richly, bearing gladly, bearing cheerfully more and more fruit day by day, to the glory of His grace, to the praise of His holy name, motivated by His never-failing love to you as a treasured branch on His vine. Then pray with the hymn writer, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing always only to my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee." Amen. "And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by sincere faith in Christ Jesus, the vine, unto life everlasting." Amen.